Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Trev, we recorded about 24 hours ago, but it feels like a lot's happened in that time. Burner accounts in the NBA.
Drake's dead.
Drake is gone, and you know, at one point we probably wouldn't have seen that coming 24 hours
ago. We hardly knew ye. Aubrey Graham.
Yes, Pusha T doing what he do.
Do I get a refund on my Drake tickets now? Because I bought tickets to a Drake show in October.
Did you?
I just want to know if, yeah.
Well, he won't be there because he's dead, so I, you know, I mean.
Well, I guess I'll still get to see Migos, so.
That's true. There you go. You got something out of it.
Man, rip Drake.
Yeah, honestly. Rip Brian Colangelo?
Dude, that's the strangest story, isn't it? Okay, well, actually, it's not that strange. Because, listen, if you have a boss for a big company or something that wants to be successful, and you don't think they're watching you from what I guess you would call a burner account, you're fooling yourself. Any, like, good, I'll say, like, leader or decision maker of a giant company that has a lot at stake, you think they're going to, like, put anything up to chance or let you try to affect how much money they make or anything like that? Because it's not true. Like, so many more people have these burner, right, or these quote-unquote burner accounts than you really think. Now, the fact that he was going out and commenting and all that stuff, that's crazy.
The news part, yeah.
That's crazy.
He was, like, ripping his own players.
Right. But for people to be like, oh, my God, he had all these burner accounts? Listen, they all do. All of them. Every NFL GM. Almost now, every head.
Do they have five of them?
Head coach, somebody. Huh?
I don't know if they have five of them like Brian Colangelo.
I don't know if they have five of them, and I don't know. I'm sure that, like, they don't all run them themselves. Sure. But every single major decision maker in sports has burner accounts. All of them.
And if we call them burners, I don't know. They have secret accounts, might be a better, you know, because it's not like they're like they're not afraid of people finding out they have other accounts. You know, it's not like a KD situation where they go in and I think they watch, but I don't think a lot of guys like will tweet and like defend themselves from them and stuff like that.
Right.
That part, I think, is the where it got unusual with Colangelo, like that he was so active. He was asking them to ask about, like, really personal situations with players, like, you know, Okafor's injuries and stuff like that. And we should say allegedly to all this, although the Ringer story was pretty convincing, I feel like, that 76ers GM Brian Colangelo has been operating five different, what we would call, burner Twitter accounts over the past, what was a couple years, right? And ripping his own players in the process and, you know, when guys acted out and, you know, kind of the timeline of actual events lined up really well with the tweets and, you know, kind of what helped Colangelo's position. He also fiercely defends Colangelo at all costs from these accounts, which kind of was a dead giveaway. Plus, the activity among those accounts seemed really synchronized. So the story is really fascinating. I'd encourage everybody to check it out over at The Ringer. It'll be very interesting to see how they proceed. And obviously, if you're Colangelo, I feel like you can't really ever admit to it, right? Like, they're not going to be able to prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt, even though it seems pretty convincing. And if you admit to it, your career is for sure over. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I wonder if something happens to him anyways.
It's weird. It's going to be really interesting because they could fire him, but then he could probably, like, you know, on what grounds kind of, you know, fire back at them, you know, because they have had recent success. So it couldn't be performance based, I feel like. And then they would have to kind of prove this. I don't know. This could get really interesting. I don't know, conduct unbecoming, and then they would have to prove it, something like that, I guess. Gets interesting for sure. We'll have to see how it plays out and proceeds. We are continuing to redraft the 2016 NFL draft. We are 20 picks in? Yeah, 20 picks in, I think. I don't know. Maybe we didn't. We should have done one more yesterday. I can't remember.
Yeah, 20 picks in.
20 picks in. We've got to finish out the first round. The Houston Texans are on the clock. You're on the clock with the Houston Texans. They actually selected Will Fuller. What'd you think of that pick? Weird career for Fuller. He's been hurt most of it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't mind it, though. I mean, like, Fuller had that streak there where, like, I can't remember this year or last year where, like, his last five catches were five touchdowns, like something stupid.
Yeah, it
was and crazy. I do think there is merit to guys who have a knack for scoring. I think that's definitely a thing. You know, I think that's, you know, I was kind of studied running backs and wide receivers. I noticed that like some guys just have a knack for getting in the end zone. Like if they've got the ball and it's within the it's within 5 yards of the end zone, they're going to score. Like they're going to get the ball in the end zone. That's just like how they are. And then you'll on other occasions, you'll see guys who like will get close and then they'll like go down. They'll be very content with going down and getting it to the 2 yard line and things like that. And so I actually do think that there is something to guys having a knack for getting in the end zone and scoring as much as they do. And so I think that's certainly a natural part of Will Fuller's game, especially as a guy who stretches the field the way that he does. This pick, I mean, like I would give the I don't have Fuller stats up. I guess I should.
I have him up. He's probably one of the weirdest stat lines for a player so far in the NFL. His rookie season, he played 14 games. He started 13. He caught 47 balls for 635 yards. Averaged 13.5 yards a catch. He did make some plays down the field, scored twice. But, you know, he fumbled twice, and it was kind of, you know, there were some uneven parts of it. Ended up getting hurt, I think, toward the end of it. Came back in 2017, started 10 games before he got hurt again. Caught 28 passes that you would want a lot more from a first-round receiver. 423 right. yards. He averaged over 15 yards a catch and right. caught seven touchdowns.
Yeah.
A quarter of his catches went for touchdowns. So very difficult yeah. player to assess. It's almost like if he isn't hitting the home run ball, he's not really doing anything for you. I think it's very Ted Ginn-esque is how his career's gone so far.
But he's like good Ted Ginn.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess Ted Ginn's kind of been good at what he does. He's been good earlier in his career. Let's put it that way. Ginn wasn't good early in his career. He figured things out.
Was Ginn as effective as Fuller?
Ginn's been – let's look up the recent stats for Ginn. Remember, he was a super late bloomer.
What you would wanted out of Ginn, minus the health stuff.
I think early in his career, you're right, because Ginn didn't – let's look right here. But, you know, first of all, Ginn's played forever, so
– maybe I'm sleeping on his stats.
Teams believing. In 2007, yeah, Ginn had two touchdowns. His first couple years in the league, he didn't score like at all. Now, recently, like in Carolina, 44 catches. So again, low number of catches, but 739 yards. He averaged almost 17 yards a catch and caught 10 touchdowns that year.
Okay,
and then the
that's
next,
a really
last
good
two
year.
Years, he's caught four touchdowns each. But again, a lot like yards per catch, not many catches. You'll fit around 50 catches both years, but around 15 yards per catch. So he's, you know, again, he's that vertical type of guy. You know, 15 this past season, he had 15 catches of 20 yards or more, five catches of 40 yards or more. You know, the last couple of years, he's had four or more catches of 40 yards or more, which is, I think, usually the league leader's around eight, and that guy plays all the time. And Ginn's kind of like a part time guy. So
would
I don't
you
know,
give this a C or B? I don't know. I'm torn.
I am too. Let's go B. Let's be nice. I think Fuller, if he plays a full season, he looks so good with Deshaun Watson. You know, if you make a ton of those splash plays, you know, even if you never become an 80 catch guy, which you'd obviously really want from a first round receiver, even if you're a 50 catch guy your whole career, you know, if eight to 10 of those are going for long ball touchdowns every year, you probably take that, right? I mean, it's better to have that one trick you're really good at. There was no doubt about that with Fuller in college either. He was good at that one thing.
The pick here would have been Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Because Tyreek Hill is incredibly good. He's very, very good. But I'm not picking Tyreek Hill because he pled guilty to a really bad domestic violence case, and I'm not redrafting those guys.
Yeah, we did that with Frank Clark in the last round. We're just trying to stay away from those types.
Yeah, I'm not drafting a domestic violence guy. I'm just not going to do it.
Yep.
So instead, I'm looking at their O-line. Derek Newton, Jeff Allen, Greg Mannix, Xavier Suofilo, Dwayne Brown. Dwayne Brown's the only dude I know.
Gross.
So I'm going to give him Laremy Tunsil.
Okay. All right. And this was at this point, I mean, if you're looking back now where they are with their offensive
line. For Tunsil to have dropped this far, he would have had to have smoked meth out of a gas mask. I don't know.
Which he, Well, he also fell...
Science.
Remember, teams didn't know that video was actually from when he was a lot younger, right? I think it was like 3 years.
Not that much younger.
Yeah, it was like for senior high school video. I'm almost certain.
Well, I mean, he was only okay.
Teams didn't know that.
Like, I was thinking the video was 2 years younger. So like him as a freshman in college. So it's okay.
Yeah, it was something like 2 to 3 years ago before the draft. You know, not saying what he does now wasn't similar, but Washington, Josh Dotson was the pick. It's got to be a C right now, right? Again, another super unusual situation. I think there's been more
negatives. Sad. Pour one out. Josh Dotson, wide receiver one.
It's not over, man. It's not over.
Pour one out.
Great chance to bounce back.
Him and Drake.
Again, a guy who did.
Dead in the pocket universe. Children of Thanos.
Oh, my goodness. How. You do not put Josh Dotson in the same conversation as Drake right now. That man is alone in his situation. Let's just put it that way. Dotson, 35 catches for 502 yards, 6 touchdowns. You know, averaged over 14 yards a catch. He made some splash plays. He caught 6 touchdowns. There were some big catches that he made in the end zone this past season. The issue is he had tons of drops. He had some poorly run routes. You know, so there's still a lot of inconsistencies with Josh Dotson. I think that's probably the biggest thing I saw when watching him is that the highs are high and the lows are really low, and he's got to find that middle ground. But remember, last year was essentially his rookie season. He played 2 games as a rookie before he got hurt. So, you know, I just think that he's been very kind of like Will Fuller, except I think there's been less negatives. I know Fuller's had a couple drops here, but I think Fuller's made more happen after the catch and things in ways like that. And so I would give Dotson a C. If you're looking at what Washington needed, wide receiver was actually, I don't know if I surprised, but they ended up letting Garcon and DeSean Jackson walk after this season.
Is Pierre Garcon the most slept on wide receiver of all time?
Dude catches mad balls, dude, just constantly. Always.
Like, and just never, like, we never, no one ever talks about Pierre Garcon. Yeah.
Former D3 player.
I think he's the most slept on player of all time.
All time.
I mean, that's obviously a.
All time, could might be.
Over exaggeration, but
right. Let's look. He's had 2 1,000-yard seasons.
Yeah, but like, but he's been, impact.
Yeah, possession guy. Possession guy. Like,
huge catches, big moments.
I missed that part, but
wow, really? You serious? What
big moments?
I feel big like moments? A lot of times when teams that he's been on have been like needing a big catch or moving the sticks.
Oh yeah, he's a chain mover for sure.
Like, yeah, like, he's just a clutch dude. Like, yeah. can get open, separate, that's got fair. Good hands. That's what I mean by, like, big moments.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know how many.
I think Garcon is probably, like, the least talked about go-to reliable receiver I could name, or, yeah, like, over the last couple of years at least.
I mean, dude has 604 catches in his career, you know? What's that, 10 years long? 10 years.
That's
career?
604 more than all the haters, you know?
That is. Well, most of the haters, unless the haters are other receivers in the NFL.
Couldn't be.
Yeah, probably not. He is also, he's a chirper, so.
All right, who are you picking?
I'm picking Kenny Clark, because here's what the Redskins' defensive line situation looked like at the time. Your boy, Chris Baker. Kedrick.
Couldn't be. Kedrick could not be. Could Golston, not be.
Could Kendall not be. Reyes. Stephen Paye. Jarrell Powell, Ricky Jean Francois. That's it, man. Like, Ziggy Hood was around here. I mean, this was the worst D line in the league. They've taken forever to address it. I think Ioannidis was a pick in this draft, but later on in the draft, he's ended up being a solid player for them. But to get a guy like Kenny Clark, who can play your nose tackle, he can play your three technique, he can play all three downs, and he can be a run stuffer, those kind of guys are rare. I was a huge Kenny Clark fan coming out. You know, he had a wrestling background, and he played that way. He's a tank, and his best football's ahead of him, no doubt in my mind.
Vikings up now. They picked Quan Treadwell, who is a polarizing, a lot of people's number one wide receiver, kind of, we're a couple years in now, and he's kind of been like...
Hot trash, yeah.
You know, it's been, you know, like, him and Hargraves were two dudes that guys loved, had in their top tens or tops of their positions, and they just, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the learning curve, the situation, the scheme, whatever, those are two dudes who I kind of linked to, both having struggles on that side of the ball, and so they're not going in that direction this time. I could pick him a guy like Sterling Shepard, because Sterling Shepard is still on the board, and I really like Sterling Shepard, but... This Vikings team already has Adam Thielen on the roster. So, like, we know how that works out.
We've said that for 3 straight drafts now. They have Adam Thielen. They're just about to figure out that he's good.
Didn't we draft a wide receiver for him? Like at some point?
Did we?
I feel like one of the last two drafts.
No, because Thielen was like in the 2013 draft or something.
I know. But this draft, like the 2016 draft, I can legit say they had Adam Thielen because he was 1 year away from the year that we just watched.
You gave him Melvin Gordon in the last draft, about a round too high.
Okay. What, did I say well, that loud? This draft, since they don't have Melvin Gordon, I'm giving him Derrick Henry.
What is your fascination with young Derrick? This team is about to take Dalvin Cook and be ultimately extremely successful.
That's a year from now. I don't know that.
It's hindsight. No, you're right. You don't know that at this point. And yeah, I mean, Henry on this Vikings team certainly would have helped. They King couldn't Henry. Run the ball. Remember, this was the year, right? 2016. Yeah, yeah. This was the year where they threw every pass like 3 yards with Sam Bradford because they couldn't protect. Just a mess.
When Adam Thielen was born.
Actually, in retrospect, I would say shame on you for not picking an offensive lineman here, but like who, like maybe Ryan Kelly.
I'm not going to pick Garnett over.
Yeah, I mean, Henry. Or Kelly. You know. Garnett's Tooney? Just barely played.
Who?
Tooney, Garnett. You know, he played a little bit as a rookie and was like okay, and then didn't play at all last year, missed the whole season. You know, he's going to start this year, but I don't know. There's just a lot of unknown with him.
Interesting now with the next pick, William Jackson. What grade do you give that?
I give it. Oh, he was so good last year. I honestly think he's probably one of the best corners in the league. I give it an A because it's not his fault he didn't play his whole rookie season. He was hurt. So he didn't play 1 second of his rookie year and then came out and was one of the best corners in the league in year two. That doesn't happen a lot, I feel like. If a guy misses his rookie season, I feel like it usually takes at least another year. And I don't know. It just seems like it's always kind of this big buzzkill thing. And it seems like it really kind of puts a damper on their career and gets them off to a slower start at the very least. But that man, Jackson, was phenomenal last year. I think he's going to be one of the best corners in the league. I give it an A. He's obviously off the board at this point because I'm good at redrafting, and I gave him to the Raiders at pick number 14. If you look at what the Bengals needed, you know, this, not going to lie, not a lot of people saw them go in corner, probably because they already had 3 first-round corners on their roster. But they just felt the need to reach out and grab William Jackson away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. They figured if we can't beat the Steelers on the field, which they can't, we're just going to beat them in the draft and take all the players they want off the board before they get to them. Real, real douche move by the Bengals, but you know that's how they roll. I think that's
how winning is done.
I'm not going to go corner though because they have good corners on the board and or on their team already. Safety's a possibility, but we did go down that road for them last draft, I think. And I think that, you know, if you look at what this team's really lacked, they had a good offensive line at this point. You know, this was when they were, you know, it was Whitworth and Clint Bowling and Kevin Zeitler, and right tackle was a need for sure. But center has just been a huge need for this team. I'm going with Ryan Kelly here. The board is starting to thin out a little bit. I still think Kelly can be a good player in the NFL. I still think that ceiling is there for him. You know, being hurt this past season really threw things off. You know, most offensive linemen struggle a little bit as rookies. I think he's going to be a good player. I'm taking him off the board, number 24, to Cincinnati.
All right, for the Steelers, you tell me.
I will.
Because I was going to pick either Kendall Fuller or Carl Joseph.
Give him Carl.
And I was going to give him Carl Joseph.
Yeah, because they take Sean Davis in this draft, but Carl Joseph's better.
Yeah, much better.
I like Fuller. I do. You know, I think that I'm curious to see how he does.
They took Artie Burns. You can grade that pick. You've watched it more than I have.
You know, I'm tempted. I would say like C minus probably. I don't think he's been like a D. Here's the thing with Artie Burns. If you're going to give up a lot of big plays, which he does and did in college, and the way he mentally, he's just not a great prospect. Let's just say it what it is. You know, he's not the smartest player on the field. He blows coverages. He's not good with assignments, but he's athletically and physically gifted. But the one thing that's really disappointing about Artie Burns, dude, if you're going to give up big plays, what do you have to do? You have to make big plays. And he doesn't make plays on the ball. So in that way, I'm disappointed in Artie Burns. And I don't know that he'll ever become the type of player Pittsburgh needs him to be, which is a guy that impacts the game by making plays in the football. They haven't had a player like that in the secondary since Paul Molo. But I don't think he's that guy. So then you have to live with the big lows, and the highs are more like, you know, tackles for short gains. So he alternates between probably a C and a D type prospect. Really bad pick for being in this range of the draft. Obviously, you want a lot more than that. I'll be nice and go C, give him one more year to prove that he isn't a D. And you're going Carl Joseph.
Yeah.
I would love to have him in Pittsburgh. Paxton Lynch, it's got to be an F, right? You take a quarterback in the first round and he can't get on the field with some of the quarterbacks that they've had in that room.
Yeah, no question, F.
And I know he was hurt some last year, but it hasn't looked good when he's played. So bad, bad, bad. I still think going quarterback was a good call. I like Paxton Lynch at the time, so I guess I'm one to talk. But you know, they clearly needed a guy for the future. At this point in our redraft, there's really nobody on the board that fits that role whatsoever. The board is starting to thin out too. Who do we have? We have Kendall Fuller, Justin Simmons, who the Broncos ended up taking in the next round. Sheldon Rankins and Javon Hargrave are here. Jordan Howard. Where do you value Jordan Howard? Because he's going to be the pick, I'm sure, before the first round gets done, just because there aren't that many. But this is the type of player that I would ordinarily say, you know, don't take in the first round because he doesn't catch the football.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to impact the game as a receiver at all. And you need a guy, a new first-round running back to play. You need him to play as a receiver. You need to play multiple roles. And that's not what he does. So valuing him is interesting to me because he's a good player. I mean, he's been way more productive than Derrick Henry, obviously, at this point, and I know different situations. But, Howard's been consistently a good rusher, especially in the outside zone scheme.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just curious where you would evaluate somebody like that.
Yeah, I guess it just depends, again, like certain situations, it's got to be for a team that you know isn't heavily emphasized things in the passing game. Like, for example, the Packers are up next after the Broncos, and I was looking at Jordan Howard as a possibility because right now they have Eddie Lacy and James Starks. But, I mean, so, like, Jordan Howard would have been an upgrade over both of those guys, mm-hmm. obviously, but they do a lot of pass catching out of the backfield for their running backs, and that's not something that Jordan Howard has done a lot of in Chicago. I mean, right. But to be fair, like, they have Tariq Cohen, so I guess I legit don't even know, like, how.
I probably would say in a vacuum I wouldn't take him in the first round, but
I don't know. I mean, like, I think Jordan Howard's really talented, so, like, I don't even know if catching the ball is, like, a problem for him. I just, like, I looked at him for the Packers and I was like, oh, this is a good fit for the need, and then I was like, but you know, like, right. They just throw Ty Montgomery in there, and he did fine because that's all they need. They just need a running back to relieve Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. So, like, Jordan Howard would have been fine there, but I think there's going to be better picks. So, anyways, just who are you going to pick for the Broncos?
I'm taking Sheldon Rankins. Okay. I think, you know, their defensive line has been kind of an issue for a while, and they ended up being really bad against the run this season, and they got better this past year when they added some players. But, you know, Derek Wolfe is kind of here on his own. Sylvester Williams has been very average at best. They don't have any depth. They didn't really have another defensive end. Vance Walker ended up getting hurt, I think. So, you know, this was a group that really needed some help. And Rankins can play the five. He can play the three. You know, he can do a lot of different things for your defense. So, you know, I think that's, you know, using him in an attacking role could have really helped their defense, giving him another impact player on the inside. He and Wolf inside on passing downs would have been a lot of fun with who they have off the edge. So, going Sheldon Rankins to Denver at number 26.
So the Packers took Kenny Clark.
He's been awesome.
I don't know what to do here because you know who I really want to give him?
No, I don't, actually.
I want to give him Hunter Henry.
Oh, wow.
But Henry just tore his ACL. Like, how do I
yeah.
Like, how do I yeah. weigh that?
Yeah, and Henry's had an odd career. Too. Another one that
but
just
I
had...
think that if Henry would have been drafted to a team that he would have been like initially groomed and then like was the like a full-time dude as a receiving tight end.
Yeah. I think Henry's good. You know,
I think Henry would have been great in Green Bay. Like great.
Yeah.
They went after and got Jimmy Graham, which I get like a little bit different, but They right. obviously would have coveted a guy like Henry if they could have got their hands on him in this draft. I think it would have been great for them.
I know. Again, another red zone guy. I mean, the Packers are a terrific red zone team, have been for years, in large part to Aaron Rodgers' ability to get outside of structure. But imagine having another guy like that.
You know what? I am going to give him Hunter Henry.
Yeah. I mean, for the Packers, you know,
I'm just going to do it.
It might just be about making things as good as possible for Aaron Rodgers, because especially at this point, like defensively, I mean, I would probably go Kendall Simmons or Kendall Fuller, but you know, we've kind of used up a lot of the defensive
players. Yeah, but they got Randall and Sam Shields, and I don't know.
Oh gosh, two guys that aren't good.
Just kidding. And Micah Hyde still at this point, so
yeah, I got to give Garnett a D at this point. I mean, like I said, he was average as a rookie, and then didn't play this past season, so basically his grade's incomplete. You know, so I just don't think he's been. I mean, you could give him a C, I guess. It just he barely played. We got to see him play a lot more. Everything was a mess when he played as a rookie too. So he's apparently like remade his body and is in great shape and ready to run outside zone. And
yeah, same.
So I'm really excited to watch him this season. By the way, I need to mention this to you now that you mentioned getting in shape. Yesterday I was at a Pirates game, sadly, because they are, after the Orlando Magic, the second worst run organization in professional sports. And they were up big and ended up blowing the lead and lost by several runs. It was very typical of the Pirates. But classic. You know how, I don't know if you guys got Quaker steak down there? Is that a thing? Have you ever heard of Quaker steak?
Yeah.
Okay.
You
don't know if there's Quaker steaks in Florida?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, anyway, you know, they're not the greatest wings in the world or anything like that, but they sell like half buckets at these games, and you can get these right. half buckets for like $20.
Yeah.
And it's like 25 wings in there. I mean, I don't know how many wings would you eat comfortably in a sitting?
Depends on just big there, but like 20, wings. 25.
Okay. So this is like, you go into the game, you're going to spend some money. It's a good deal, right? Yeah. You sit down, you get one of those half buckets, which really is an actual bucket. I don't know why they call it a half bucket. And you eat the whole thing. Well, my wife was there too, and she got a bunch of wings and ended up giving me like five of hers, and I ate like 30 before it was all said and done. And
I'm not shocked.
I said, Trevor would be proud. He would be proud of this moment. Arizona ranch flavor, though. I don't know how you would have felt about that.
I don't know. I don't know what that entails.
It's like a spicy, ranch flavor.
I was more proud of you single-handedly attempting to put TGI Fridays out of business.
Well, at the I had some competition in the form of one Trevor Sikkema, so you weren't, you know.
Don't.
Putting away
don't let hack NFL writers get all you can eat apps, guys.
Well,
you'll pay.
Hack. And the one guy was like super nice about it too. He like gave us one bill for both of our all you can eat apps. It's like nice guy. 49ers here. Wait, was Shanahan here yet? I'm trying to think. 2016.
No,
one more year right before you go. Yeah,
no, one more year.
Now I'm torn. Yeah, you know what? Even though I just said that about Jordan Howard, I look at the rest of the group, and yeah, I don't see a lot of great players left on the board, especially positions of need for the Niners. So, Sterling Shepard's still on the board. But wait, didn't you draft a wide receiver for the 49ers earlier? Yeah, you drafted Michael Thomas earlier in the first round.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to come back and give him Jordan Howard. You know, again, perfect
nice.
Type of fit. Perfect type of fit for Kyle Shanahan.
I like it.
I mean, when Shanahan gets here, so if they're planning ahead. They get their outside zone runner a year ahead of time. Carlos Hyde just hasn't been able to stay healthy. He hasn't really impressed me that much when he's been on the field. You know, 49 or they're going to find a way to complement, you know, the fact that Howard isn't that great of a receiver with somebody else. I'm okay with them taking him in this range and given who's on the board anyway. So there goes Jordan Howard to the Niners, number 28.
Cardinals ended up taking Robert and Kimdichi.
F.
Very, very odd for Kimdichi because such a giant athletic man at Ole Miss. Dude, how weird were the Ole Miss prospects this draft?
Super weird. They pretty much all have turned out disappointing.
Tunsil, Treadwell, and Kimdichi were considered by some to be the number ones at all of their position.
Yeah. I had a third round grade on Kimdichi, but I know a lot of people had him in the top five. Definitely top 10. I was not seeing it with Kimdichi. Not only did I question the effort and the character and everything, but I just did not think he knew what he was doing on the football field.
That simple.
You know, I thought he had concerns in that regard, which I just couldn't get past. I just thought he was clueless, and I think Plank's being smart is really important on the defensive line. So, with that said,
I was going to give him Javon Hargrave.
He's been a very good player in Pittsburgh, and he's not played a ton of snaps because the reality, you know, you run a 3-4 defense to it, and Hayward have played a ton of snaps over the years. Pittsburgh probably has the best conditioned defensive line in the league. I don't think even other teams would really question that. And so those guys are able to play a ton of snaps, which doesn't leave a lot of room for Hargrave. And he's still been productive. He's still been impactful as a pass rusher. He's owned Cincinnati when they played him in a huge game. And when Tuitt's had to go down, you know, he's been asked to do more. He's done really well. So I don't think it's a stretch to put Hargrave in the first round. I think he's been really solid. Obviously, I'd like to see what he does with more snaps, but he's been one of the better defensive draft picks for the Steelers in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, if not longer, which isn't saying much, I know, but. So, yeah, good pick. For me, you always talk about getting the Panthers weapons, right? And they ended up with James Bradbury later in this draft, and they certainly could use the secondary help, but I got to go Sterling Shepard here, right? I mean, he's, you know, again, this is the second wide receiver we've taken off the board, but I just think, you know, he's been a really good player in the NFL. It's kind of gone under the radar because the Giants haven't been very good, and obviously OBJ's rookie season great, and then OBJ gets hurt, and Shepard had some great games. He's done some things after the catch, makes high degree difficulty catches for a smaller receiver, you know, goes outside his frame, has good ball skills. You know, when I watched Shepard coming out, I thought this guy's everything except for, was it like speed? Was he like he wasn't like the fastest dude in the league or anything, but he really had all traits except for size. He just wasn't that big. You know, he had ball skills. He's like a lot like Anthony Miller, had ball skills, but just not that big of a receiver. You know, so those guys are really valuable to me, you know, and DJ Moore was kind of the same way, you know, not like, I think he was just barely 6 foot, but he would go up and get it in contested catch situations. And I think that's one thing I really liked about Shepard is that there really wasn't a situation that overwhelmed him on the field, and he was very NFL ready. So I think he's been very good for the Giants, and he would help out the Panthers a lot. I also give the Vernon Butler pick a D so far. You know, he barely played last year. There's been talk. He's been really disappointing. I don't know. I just think you take a defensive tackle in the first round, man, when you already have Kaywon Short and Star Lutalele, then Star Lutalele moves on to a new team, to the Bills, and you feel the need to bring in Dontari Poe because Butler's not ready to play. Yeah, I don't know. You need that guy to be ready to step into a starting role. It's just a reality. If you're drafting it like that, he's got to be ready. Seahawks, Jermaine Ifedi.
Don't really know what to do here because, like, they tried to pick an O-lineman and it was bad.
Terrible.
But
that's another F, by the way. We've given out.
I mean, like, the only other O-linemen are Garnett and Thuney.
Yeah.
What about
secondary? They need nickel corner. Kendall Fuller could be good.
Is Fuller still on the board?
Yeah, he's still on the board. He's probably the best player.
Oh, okay. Then I'll go Fuller. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, good size nickel corner.
Take a little bit of Fuller.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think that's a good pick for them.
Are we doing we had a request to do the next three picks really quick after this to get to the Cowboys.
Okay. Who's the next? Hang on, let me pull it. Browns, Titans, Cowboys. Who do we give the Browns already? Is this one of the years they had one first round pick?
Yeah. No, they didn't have any.
No, Corey Coleman.
Oh, right. I'm an idiot.
Let's say we go.
Browns would have taken
a pass rusher, right?
I would. Yeah, I was going to say Noah Spence.
Or Floyd or Spence.
I think Spence. Where's
Titans would have taken. Who they actually take? They actually took Kevin Dodd here. They might take a pass rusher too.
They may take Floyd.
What about the Cowboys taking like James Bradbury here? Bigger, longer corner.
That'd be good for them, I think. Who are their wide receivers Justin at this Simmons. Point?
What's that? Their wide receivers?
Who are their wide receivers at this point?
Yeah, Will Fuller could make sense here. They haven't had a vertical guy. Bryce Butler's the closest thing. Yeah, let's go Will Fuller here for the Cowboys.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, Will Fuller.
There you go, Cowboys.
That gives them an element they don't really have. I mean, yeah, Cole Beasley's been kind of the underneath guy. Terrence Williams is just kind of not good. And Dez Bryant's more your contested catch red zone type of guy. And so having a speed element down the field, something that they've missed. I like that. Will Fuller in Dallas. There we go. Good stuff. 2016 NFL Draft Redraft is complete. Now, tomorrow, we take a look at the team classes, evaluate kind of who's good, who struggled a little bit in the team classes. Again, we're only 2 years in for these guys, so we're doing this with a grain of salt, but going to take a look at how those classes have panned out so far, who's won the 2016 draft so far, and who has lost it. We'll do that tomorrow on the pod, and then Fan Friday, more good stuff. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.